On this episode of The Checkdown, Kyle and I are on a family beach vacation in Carlsbad, California. But we're still working. So we're here. We dissect the ESPN top 50 college players to watch, including some of our own Pac-12, Bryce Love and Justin Herbert. We then discuss Adam Schefter's comments that Sam Darnold has a good shot to start week one for the Jets. Kyle babbles on during Gabin Golf for a little bit before we move on to a very, very entertaining blitz package where we bring some family members on to discuss if adult naps are appropriate, what food we could eat 7 days in a row, and if we'd rather be stranded in the ocean or in the desert. So stay tuned. But first, your jam of the week is a request from Ruby and Charlotte, two of our nieces. This is the one of the anthems from the Trolls movie, Justin Timberlake. Here it is. Welcome back, everyone. Kyle and I are at a family vacation in Carlsbad, California, sitting on the beach. We are doing this podcast on a balcony right on the sand on Carlsbad Beach. And you might be able to hear the waves in the background. Do you hear that? Okay, good. I'm not sure, but this has been a great trip so far. Kyle, how's the sun treating you?
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I'm a little red. A little lobsterish. I'm not gonna lie. That's part of the tone that I was looking for. So,
but you needed that day two, right? Like this is only day two of the trip. You need to get red quick so that it turns brown the later days of the week.
So my suntan strategy is the lobster day two, and then it's the reddish brown day three.
Okay.
It's a slight peel day four, and then day five I'm just like. I'm Matthew McConaughey on the beach. I'm rock and roll.
Wow.
That's it.
That's a bold statement. I never get to Matthew McConaughey skin tone. I more am just like, I lobster red, and then I less red, and it gets a little bit tan, but I always have like a reddish tint to me.
You've been aggressive though.
I went after today.
I will say, from what I've known of you, you tend to shy away from the sun just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
But the last couple days, you've been
in it.
Very aggressive and sitting in the, like, just avoiding the canopies at all costs.
Yes. Take it right off the chest.
Literally. Right off the chest.
Because I've lobster right
minimal
off the chest.
Minimal sunscreen. No umbrellas.
Nope.
Anywhere near you. And then when you go in the water every 30 minutes, you know you're hot.
Yeah. Oh, man. I've been going in the water a ton since I've been here.
You're not as afraid of the sun as the shakiest guy in the West. He is like... He is, I mean.
He's pasty white.
Man, it is. He talks about it all the time, how afraid of the sun he is. You're not that guy.
Yeah.
But you're doing a good job.
So just to also explain why we're here on family vacation together, because I know we dropped this info late into our podcast history, but I am engaged to Kyle's sister, and the Risco family does a huge vacation once a week every year in the summer. Here in Carlsbad, hence why we're here together. Not by choice, of course, but that's the situation we're in.
We do, so I think we're probably 40 or 50 years deep in the Carlsbad tradition.
Yeah, can we get some stats on the...
Yeah, like, my good cousin Zach Wood here to bring in some historical significance.
Yeah, where are we at in the Carlsbad family vacation?
Introducing... happy to be here, Tony and Kyle. This is a joy. We did some history last year. Our grandfather, Kyle's, and I, we went back in time, not like 5 decades, but like 6 or 7 for him.
Wow.
When beaching started with his dad and our great-grandfather. So for us, it's just been our whole lives practically on this beach. And... yeah, that cycle of lobster to well done.
Yeah, so, for those of us who aren't good at math, 7 decades is what, 35 years?
Somewhere around there. So for me, I feel like I've been in this exact location my entire life. I don't think that's actually the case.
Right.
I feel like, and Zach, you can correct me if I'm wrong, right, but I feel like when we were young and little, we were somewhere else, at least for our sub-10 days.
Right, fair. But you guys have been here long enough to know that every night of the week you're here has a specific dinner. 7 nights in a row, you know what's happening every night of the trip.
Let me name them.
You can name them. Yeah, name them off. Like, this is how
Mexican food, pizza, great pizza, New York style pizza.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Phenomenal.
We have the random meat night, which is our 90-year-old grandfather's just his choice, right?
Wait,
it's meatballs, it's sausage.
He's a huge USC fan. Fight on.
Oh, yeah, fight on.
Warren Kraft.
He's a ticket holder.
Yeah.
No love lost here, absolutely. But if we let him just choose the dinners every single night, somebody'd have a heart attack. So we have the sausage, we got the meatballs, we got hot dogs, we got hamburgers. Like, there's so much protein, somebody's gonna drop dead, right? We have what do we do after that? We do harbor fish one night.
Mm-hmm.
Later in the week, we do like a lasagna or a pasta, like that. So
okay.
I feel like I nailed, like, 5 of them.
This is nothing against your grandpa, but as a 90-year-old man, like, you would think it would be reversed, but he eats so late. I don't know how he eats at, like, 9:30 every night, but he does. You would think he would be eating at, like, 4:30.
I usually go to bed before he eats.
It's true. Every night, that's almost every night.
I got two little tiny kids, and he has, like, great-grandkids, so it's a very different dynamic.
Right.
But I'm usually asleep at 8:30, and he is eating 7 different types of protein at 8:30.
Yes.
Like, we are in very different... We're doing very different things at 8:30 on a regular weekday night. Yeah. And when he's by himself, like, you gotta remember, like, he's
got his own room.
He's eating frozen nonsense through the oven, in the microwave, whatever he's doing, and I'm sleeping. Like, that's what's happening between the two of us. He's partying, if you consider eating crazy protein.
Right.
He's partying later than I am on a regular basis.
Yes, and crushing gin and tonics. So he's got it going on. Also, one of the traditions, I think you did it before I came around, but at least the last 3 years, we've played one round of golf during the week at some point, which we played this morning. Why don't you talk a little bit about that, since you had a very good round, and I did not, so I shouldn't speak.
Yeah, so the original plan was to play Torrey Pines.
Oh, yeah.
They have a south and a north course. The south course is unbelievable. Ocean views. It's one of the staples in the PGA Tour. They've had U.S. Opens there. They have the Farmers Open every single year. Tiger plays there every single year. He has a connection to Farmers. It's a sponsorship, so he kind of has no choice. But it's a little pricey, so we avoided it. Our backup course was the Crossings in Carlsbad, which is about 3 miles south of us and 2 miles inland.
Yep.
Beautiful course. Tons of out-of-bounds. Tons of elevation change. Absolutely a great time.
Yeah.
The greens are super fast. Tony and I both played well. I feel like we played the same game.
Yeah.
I feel like we did. But
I can count, like, you struck 4 bad shots. 4 bad shots that cost me, like, 2 strokes each, which hurt.
Yeah.
Couple in the ravine. Well, not on the same hole, but one in the ravine, one in the fescue that I had to take an unplayable. Where I really lost out today was on the green.
Yeah, not a ton of fescue on this course, too. You found the only goddamn fescue on this entire course. This is not Ireland.
Literally, there
everybody,
was like...
There's no fescue. There's no 24-inch grass.
There's one...
In the San Diego County area, but they produced it.
Yeah, one hill...
This was manufactured.
One hill on
Tony
the back...
Found it.
One hill on the back of one green on the 8th hole, I believe. 7th or 8th hole. One, like, probably 5 foot by 5 foot... little patch of fescue.
And he found a goddamn rattlesnake.
And I found it, and I couldn't even hit it. I had to, like, reach in a hole to grab the ball out. That's how
fucking rattlesnake couldn't pull that thing out of there.
Yeah,
that's brutal.
No, that's not funny.
That's funny.
That's pretty funny. Anyways, Kyle won. He won both stroke play and we played skins.
I did hit about 6 balls 2 yards from perfect.
I hit
so many tee shots that I feel like if there were a yard left, a yard right, army golf, straight, left, right, left, it's fantastic. If they're a yard left or a yard right, they stay in, and all of a sudden they jump in this bush.
Yeah.
Jump in that bush. Are there environmentally sensitive areas, which is just so frustrating.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie to you. Why are they sensitive? Sagebrush. Goddamn sagebrush. Sensitive my ass. What they are.
Kyle's going into hate mode. Everyone take over. Kyle's going into hate mode.
If I take a goddamn sandwich and I rip this sagebrush out of the ground,
it'll grow. It'll grow back.
It'll grow back, first of all, and there are zero animal species in the area that are going to suffer. They'll be fine. They'll be just fine.
Fair. Anyways.
Anyway.
Kyle won both today, so I'm swallowing my pride in that. Anywho, that is a little history of what we're doing now. And, you know, we want this podcast to have a personal touch, and so you guys are now involved in our personal family vacation here with us in Carlsbad. But let's get to what everybody wants to hear about, and that's some Pac-12 football, which is right around the corner. And some big news for Bryce Love from Stanford. He was listed today as the number 2 overall player to watch in all of college football. Huge, huge mark for him. The only player in front of him was Houston defensive tackle Ed Oliver, who's supposed to be just an absolute monster. But other players from the Pac-12 who made the list were Oregon quarterback Justin Herbert, 14th overall, Washington QB Jake Browning, 15th overall, Arizona QB Khalil Tate, 19th overall, and Washington running back Miles Gaskin, 20th overall. Two things immediately pop out to me, which I think we should tackle first.
Ooh,
number
tackle.
Two. Yeah.
Nice. Well, play on no words. Pun intended.
Yeah, play on
that's
words.
Good, that's good.
Bryce Love, number 2 overall. That's impressive. Right?
That's
like,
impressive.
That's basically saying, because the only other guy, Ed Oliver, is a defensive player, so basically saying Bryce Love is going to be the most explosive offensive player in the country if everything goes to plan.
Well, a couple things, right? He was a Heisman candidate last year, so not surprising.
True.
He's one of the guys that people thought would be one of the blowout stars coming out of the Pac-12 last season. He's a little bit undersized. He's about 10 pounds lighter and an inch shorter than Christian McCaffrey, who came out of Stanford a couple previous years. Now he's in the NFL, doing pretty decent. He's not Todd Gurley, right? He's not Saquon Barkley. He's
right.
Not that large. And the problem is, coming out of college, he's not undersized, really.
Right.
But the guys that come out of college that really blow the doors off in the NFL are the guys that can break away on the outside, speed-wise, and also run you over down the middle.
Yeah, that's a good
There's
point.
Very few of those guys, right? There's the Todd Gurleys. There's a Saquon Barkley. There's a Le'Veon Bell. There's a David Johnson. There's probably 5 or 6 guys in the NFL that have that ability to go outside and inside.
True.
And I don't know that Bryce Love has both of those. I feel like he's more of a speed guy, right? Think about Reggie Bush.
Right.
Reggie Bush blew the doors off of everybody in college football. He got to the NFL, and he's just not big and strong enough to run down the middle.
Right.
And so he's limited to the slot game. Catching the ball in the backfield, and also breaking away on the outside and beating guys with his speed. And if you don't have 4.2, 4.3 speed, you just can't cut it. It's not going to work. So I am not underestimating Bryce Love's college ability. I honestly feel like that week 2 game, the USC goes to Stanford, scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
It does, because that team is legit.
Good
Costello's legit.
Yeah.
Bryce Love is legit. Like, that team is going to be really, really good.
Defensively, though, that's where we... But USC doesn't necessarily have the
and
best...
It's a different style of football, too.
Right.
Stanford plays a different style of football than the rest of the Pac-12. They always have, and they always will.
Right.
David Shaw is a downhill running, like, it's not West Coast offense, but it's almost like an NFL style, I'm going to blow the doors off you down the middle,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have to stop me.
Right.
And that's really difficult because the rest of the Pac-12 plays kind of a West Coast offense type of thing, so...
Fair.
I feel like it's going to be difficult. I don't know if Bryce Love's going to translate to the NFL as far as this next year in college football. It's going to be really, really tough to stop.
Well, that was going to be kind of a point I wanted to hit on, was that Bryce Love, I think, Christian McCaffrey obviously had an incredible college career, right? But I think his skills translated better to the NFL because of his wide receiver-ish abilities as far as getting in the slot and actually running one-on-one routes against linebackers and strong safeties. He's the downhill runner. He's basically, in my opinion, Christian McCaffrey has kind of got that all-around talent where he can run in between the tackles, he can run outside, he's got enough speed to do that, but then also you line him up either out of the backfield running back routes, or you put him in the slot running those...
What's the comparison? Like,
who
does he compare to? Yeah. Like, what what slot does Christian McCaffrey fit into in the NFL that's been successful? Because it's interesting, like, that's kind of a new style of football, right? Like,
right.
The guy that comes out of college football that's athletic enough to obviously be a running back and beat you to the outside, but also play in the slot.
Right.
But he's not big enough to go down the middle, because who the hell is these
But
days?
They did let him do that with the Panthers last year.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, not as much, but also when you have Cam Newton, I guess you don't necessarily need him to do that.
I'm just trying to think, like, who's the prototype? Like, who's the mold you want him to fit into in today's NFL? That's not an easy answer. I'm not asking you because I know the answer. I'm just saying, like, obviously there's something there, right? Like, he's 215 pounds.
Honestly.
He weighs what I weigh. Like, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
So obviously there's a prototype there that he can fit into. I just don't know who he is.
I think he's a better Danny Woodhead.
Danny Woodhead's tiny.
But he did it all. They let him do a lot.
I almost want to leave him as like a Le'Veon Bell.
But Le'Veon Bell isn't
he's like
bigger.
215.
But he's bigger. I think he's like 6'2". Like he's like
like an inch and a half bigger, like 10 pounds heavier, like.
I feel like Le'Veon Bell.
Danny Woodhead's a tiny dude. Danny Woodhead's like a Amendola, like little tiny dude. Like he's not. He's like getting both the doors up. And he, like
I don't know. I feel like
McCaffrey. I follow him on Instagram. The guy's a monster.
He's a monster. And he saved a guy last year. Remember that was rock climbing. Fell.
He did.
He went down and got him. Gosh, what
great guy! Great guy.
Right outside of Highlands Ranch, Colorado.
Yeah,
that's right. Christian McCaffrey's from Castle Rock, Colorado. Yep. Shout out to the Front Range.
Absolutely.
And he has like three or four brothers.
Yeah.
They're studs, right? Like,
yep.
Is he the oldest? Or like one in the middle?
I think there's a couple older than him. I think there's one younger who's a quarterback at Michigan. Second string last year.
Oh, yeah,
I think he's fighting. I think that's the youngest. Maybe he's like third. Yeah, he has an older brother that was like a practice squad guy, made a roster for somebody in the NFL.
Siblings.
Yeah, go ahead, hit us with it.
Max, Dylan, and Luke.
So I think he's second. I think Max is the oldest, then him. Yeah. Dylan's at Michigan, and then Luke, I believe, is still a senior in high school, going to be a senior in high school at wherever he goes to in Colorado.
Valor Christian.
There you go.
Dang.
Hope all your Colorado fans are happy.
Absolutely.
No, I think Christian McCaffrey's an absolute stud. I think that's the mold that a lot of these pro football teams want to fit the guys into. I just don't know that there's a mold that you put them into.
Right.
Right? Like, I think he's kind of like the new age running back.
Absolutely.
Fits in the slot.
Yeah.
He can run down the middle if you want him to, but also he can beat you outside. I think they kind of wanted Reggie Bush to be that guy, but he's not that guy.
He's like the best read option running back there is, right? Because
read option.
Yeah, because you don't have that same sort of linebacker pressure defensively, because you have that quarterback that can ride him for as long as he wants, and then if he sees that outside backer coming, he takes it, hits the quick slant behind him. So he's that kind of...
Is that the perfect guy for Cam Newton?
I think so, because then you have Cam Newton who rides it, can read it, run it himself, or hit the quick backside slant.
Is the RPO... Sorry, I'm far from the mic. Sorry, everybody. Is the RPO something that works in today's NFL? Like, is Cam Newton's offense something that works? Because I just don't know that it does.
No, but I think that everybody runs some form of the RPO.
I know that, but Cam Newton's a...
Oh, you mean like a guy that
Cam
actually...
Cam Newton's a monster.
Like, I guess Tom Brady running some sort of RPO option is
Cam
much
Newton's
different than Cam Newton running it.
Did you just say Tom Brady runs it?
Yeah.
RPO? I'm about to go all the way across the mic and stop moving.
What are you talking about? The RPO is literally that on every single play, he can either give it or throw it. No, that's not
run, pass, that's option. That's what RPO stands for.
No, run as in hand it to the running back and the offensive line.
No, yes, it is. No, run it like you run it yourself.
No, not true.
Like Cam Newton runs it himself.
That's one of the
options. Jameis Winston runs it himself.
That's one of the options out of the RPO.
Okay,
but it's not the only option.
You played football in college, I did not. So that's fine. But
the run pass option is literally the quarterback looks.
Please don't say Tom Brady and RPO in the same sense.
But he can run it. The RPO is literally
he can run it?
No, not him. He can run the offense of an RPO in that he can either he's reading, if that defensive end stands up or that outside linebacker comes, he's going to pull it from giving it to the running back, and the offensive line and running back still look like they're running a run
play.
He
never does that.
And he just throws a quick slant behind. Are you kidding me?
all the time.
Are you kidding you? He does it all the time. The run pass option doesn't mean the quarterback has to run it. It means they're running a run play that the quarterback reads to either give it for the run play or keep it for the quick pass play.
Either way.
it's a very
so
short version.
Let's talk about in the Cam Newton example where it's the quick slant, it's the throw, or the run. Like, he's literally running the football. Mm-hmm. Which, surprisingly enough, the guy's 6'5", 245. The guy's a freaking monster. The guy gets hurt every 5 seconds.
Cam Newton?
Yeah. Cam Newton's always hurt.
But he always plays. He never sits out.
You're always hurt. What's going on with you right now?
I don't think Cam Newton misses a lot of games. I'm going
to
Google that.
We don't have time to Google that. That's just weird. Cam Newton's always hurt. Cam Newton is the perfect example of why the Michael Vick prototype of a quarterback doesn't work. Because no matter how big and strong you are, you can't survive in the NFL if you run as a quarterback.
That's
can't
true.
Do it.
I agree with that.
RG3, it didn't work. Cam Newton, it didn't work. Who are the other guys? Obviously Michael Vick.
McNabb.
I feel like he's pretty successful. Big Ben is a good example, but he is pretty successful. But at the same time, if Cam Newton can run and gets hurt, nobody can run and not get hurt. That guy's an absolute monster. He's super athletic, big and strong, huge arm. There's just nothing you can do about it.
Cam Newton, from what it looks like, I'll list off how many games he's played.
Okay.
So starting in 2011, 16 games. 2012, 16 games. 2013, 16 games. 2014, 14 games. 2015, 16 games. 2016, 15 games. 2017, 16 games. That means he's literally missed three games in 8 years.
Yeah, but he's kind of hurt the whole time.
But he's kind of hurt. Yeah, but he doesn't sit out.
I just feel like...
I understand what you're saying in that the...
You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. The Michael Vicks doesn't apply anymore. I'm not even sure how we got to Michael Vick from Bryce Love. I would love to go back and listen to what the stream of consciousness was to get here.
I don't
but
know.
But it doesn't matter. But I understand what you're
but
saying.
But what I'm saying
that.
Is like if a guy like Cam Newton could get hurt playing regular football where you feel like he's a pass-first quarterback and he's only running if he has to, if a guy like Cam Newton can get hurt, who's an absolute monster. Let's all agree. Cam Newton's a
monster. Absolutely.
He's huge. Like when he was at Auburn, like nobody can bring him down.
Yeah.
He's like Big Ben, but he's taller.
And more athletic.
And heavier and more athletic.
Yeah.
Like the guy's a freak.
He's a monster.
He's absolutely everything you want as a quarterback.
Yes.
If he can get hurt, anybody can get hurt.
Agreed. I agree with you. So
apparently less than I thought. For the stats.
Yeah, so let's get back to what we were talking about at the beginning was Bryce Love being the number 2 player to watch in the nation. The other point I wanted to bring up, not only that, so that'll be interesting to see if he can replicate what he did last year, maybe win a Heisman if he doesn't get hurt. But the other thing I wanted to bring up was the number of quarterbacks that made the top 50 from the Pac-12. Justin Herbert from Oregon, 14th overall. Jake Browning, Washington, 15th overall. Then Arizona, Khalil Tate, 19th overall. So 3 of the top 20 players to watch are quarterbacks in the Pac-12, which I think is a big deal.
Yeah, that's
like
a big deal.
The West Coast and the Pac-12 itself, I feel like, is always known for quarterback play. We're not necessarily known for big defensive linemen or extremely athletic linebackers like the SEC is known for. But, quarterback play, I feel like that's where we've always kind of garnered a little, I don't even know what word I'm looking for right now, but a little bit of
that's the bread butter.
Yeah, we have good quarterbacks in the Pac-12, and I feel like that shows again. And I was looking at who the other players were that are above those 4. Will Grier, who's a senior from West Virginia, and then you have 3 who is the 3rd player to watch, and then you have 3 in a row in Trace McSorley from Penn State, senior, Jarrett Stidham, junior from Auburn, and Tua Tagovailoa.
Trace McSorley's coming back from Penn State?
Yeah, coming back. Oh. He's good. He's not a very big dude either, but he's athletic as hell.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley carried him.
That's a good point. I agree with you with that.
No, I agree. I think that Khalil Tate's a baller. I think he's going to be really, really good. I don't know that he's going to be a high draft pick. I think that that's a prototypical college-style quarterback.
Yeah.
Which it doesn't necessarily translate to the NFL. I think that Jake Browning's such a wild card to me. I just don't...
Well, yeah, like one year he can pass for 3,500 yards and 35 touchdowns, and then the next year he can go for 2,700 yards and 14 touchdowns because defense was so good. But
to be honest with you, I can't figure him out. Like, I just don't know if he's the guy that takes that next step that turns out to be a Sam Darnold that's, like, a top five.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So, first of all, obviously, like, with everything we've said about the Pac-12, especially the North in the last couple of weeks of this podcast, like, Washington is favored to win the North, hands down.
Right.
They are. And I disagree with that. I think Stanford's going to win the North, obviously. But Jake Browning is a stud, and he's proven that. But I also personally feel like he's cracked under pressure a little bit.
Well, yeah, last year he had some big losses in big-time games.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of big-time games that he's going to have to deal with coming down the stretch.
Right.
And that's going to be very indicative of what his scouting review is going to be, like, going down the line,
right,
you know, into the NFL draft and all that kind of stuff. And I just don't know. I feel like it's one of those, like, red and black things in roulette. Like, it could go right, it could go left. Right.
But if you hit a big one, maybe they win a national title because he has a stellar year and they have all those
nine starters
on defense come back. Like, they put it all together.
I'm not saying the guy's not talented. He's definitely talented.
He's just a wild card.
He's just a wild card.
I agree.
I don't know if he has that next level talent. I don't know.
Well, yeah, we'll see. But who does have the next level talent, or at least is word on the street, Justin Herbert from Oregon is supposed to be the top quarterback
taken. Yeah, he's
supposed
to be really, really good.
He's supposed to be at least one of the top two quarterbacks taken in the NFL draft next year, if not the number one quarterback. That doesn't necessarily mean number one overall. It just means they think his size and his athleticism and his arm strength are things that could translate very well to the NFL.
What's their schedule look like?
Easy. They have one of the easiest schedules
Oregon?
In the Pac-12.
They don't play USC, I know that.
They don't play USC. I don't think they play Arizona either. From the South, so they obviously... But they play
Washington?
They're Washington and Stanford at home.
At home?
At home.
Okay.
Austin Stadium, so... And then their non-conference is like... I think they play... I don't know, we could look it up, but nobody good. Like BYU... Portland State, I don't know. Just teams that they should roll over.
Is Oregon on the up and up?
Oregon's on the up and up. I told you that last podcast they have...
I know that, but you're biased.
I am very biased, but I'm also supported with statistics. They have 12 of the ESPN top 300 players this season coming, and they had 13 over the last 3 years. So, like, they're...
Oregon and USC are recruiting like wildfire.
Yeah.
Like, they're just killing it.
We have our Oregon's schedule, Bowling Green... Portland State and San Jose State are their non-conference.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so they should be 3-0.
They play three high school teams before the conference starts? Who does that?
They're basically taking a page out of the SEC book just all at the beginning of the year. Just
we're gonna make this easy. I was going to say, except for the fact that they're actually in the beginning, which is reasonable, except for playing them like 1 week before the freaking SEC championship game.
But, anywho... So some good news.
Is Nick Saban involved in this scandal with Urban Meyer?
No. Are you trying to get both of them fired?
Yeah, I just want the whole crew to get blown out.
Oh my god.
Oh, what's the guy from Clemson? He's a
Dabo Sweeney.
All of them are included.
Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah, they're all. It's all a big conspiracy.
They're all working together with Urban Meyer to not
get him out of here.
Oh, anyways, good news for the Pac-12. A lot of players to watch. It'll be an exciting season. We'll be keeping tabs on it. But we're also going to get into this a little bit more next week when we bring our NFL draft expert, Andrew Ross, back on.
Yep.
We're going to do a way too early 2019 NFL draft prospect list with him. So stay tuned. Listen for that one next week. Some more Pac-12 football news, though. According to, the guru himself, Adam Schefter, former USC quarterback Sam Darnold, has a quote-unquote very fair shot to start week one for the New York Jets. Obviously, he's up against Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater. They're all competing. I've said this from the beginning. I would love to see somebody start week one, either him, Josh Rosen, or even Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen, one of the four. Like, why would you not? You thinking this is the franchise? He's in a good situation, so I could see why they wouldn't. But Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, why wouldn't you?
So my whole thing is, you take a chance taking one of these guys high up in the draft. You do, right? And with all the other guys you have on these teams, right? Josh McCown, all the other backups that you have on these teams. You've given them a chance before.
Right.
So why spend all the money to go to move up the draft and take these big superstars and not give them a chance to start? What's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point to give the guy that hasn't performed for you the last 2 or 3 years when you could give the rookie a chance and just give him more reps? Give him more reps.
Well, and my thing is, too, is like coaches are not idiots, right? Like, I think they're optimistic in that they want to win a Super Bowl every year. But I think they're also realistic in that they know, like,
well, that's unrealistic.
Are wide receivers, tight end, running backs good enough to win a Super Bowl? Is our defense? Why do I keep saying R? What am I, like a seal or something? Jeez. Is our defense good enough to help us win a Super Bowl? Like, and I think the Jets, you look at all of that, I would say no in a lot of those areas. So why would you not let the guy you think is going to be the face of your franchise for the next 5, 10, maybe 12 years not take his lumps as a rookie? Like, if you really don't think you're going to win a Super Bowl, so your goal is what, to just make the playoffs?
Like, no, so listen. So Super Bowl, like, take that out of the question, right? Like, there's these teams that these draft picks have landed on, they're not Super Bowl contenders.
Right.
For a reason. That's why they got draft picks that are so high. So, like, take that aside and understand that they have the head coaches, the GMs, these big-time agents, they need to move forward.
Yeah.
They need to go up and to the right. If the Jets won 6 games last year, they need to win 10.
Yeah.
If they won 10 games last year, they need to win 12. Right? Like, they need to prove to their GMs, their owners, their senior leadership that they're moving upward. Like, we're doing better than we were last year because of the decisions that we made.
Right.
If you can't prove that, you're useless. Well, if you can't prove that, like, forget it.
Yeah.
I'll get somebody else. You're not going to win a Super Bowl. The Jets aren't going to win a Super Bowl. They're in like...
They're not even going to win the division.
They're in the goddamn division with the New England Patriots.
It's
not going to happen.
That was going to be
like,
my
that's
point.
Just, yeah. That's all it is. Like, Tom Brady, unless he retires, you're done. Like, that's it. It's the Bills. It's the Jets. It's the Dolphins and the Patriots. And guess what?
Patriots are gone.
Unless you have New England in the front of your name, you are not winning the division.
So
that's all it is.
Realistically, they're shooting for a wild card spot. And I know that's not, like,
no, they're
optimistic, but they're shooting
they're
for...
They're shooting to be better than they were last year. And that's it. And if I'm a GM, and you put me in that position, and you're like, hey, we trust you with the future of this team, and you won 6 games last year, you win 9. And you say, hey, we won 6, and then you hired me, and we won 9. Like, you can show that you have improved this team.
Fair.
You the last division you want to be in is the AFC West, or East. AFC East.
Such a dog-eat-dog world out there, though. I don't know if people won't take getting to the playoffs very long.
You know what division you don't want to be in is the
we talked about last week.
East, South.
NFC West.
NFC West is brutal, but New Orleans, Carolina, Atlanta,
that's the
Tampa
NFC
Bay. East. NFC South. Brutal.
West.
Alps. West?
North.
What the hell? Talking about.
No, I agree.
South or East.
There's basically, like, I feel like if the Patriots, once the Patriots lose Tom Brady, like, that's going to be the division everyone's like, oh, these are just the guys that get walked over all the time. Because Jets, Bills, and Dolphins are historically not good in the last couple years.
Bill Belichick bounces when Tom Brady's gone.
You think Belichick goes before Brady? Or vice versa?
Man, they hold hands together and skip into the sunset.
They don't like each other. They're having a bad relationship.
It doesn't matter, dude. With either one of them without each other, they're done.
I'm saying...
If Brady retires, Belichick is out. If Belichick retires, Tom Brady's out. There's no A without the B. There's no... You know what I'm saying?
I say Brady goes first. That's my...
He said he's playing until he's 50. I'm saying no.
No way. Absolutely no way. Let's move on to a little bit of Gavin Golf.
All right.
The WGC Bridgestone Invitational happened this weekend. Firestone Country Club in Akron, Ohio. Shout out to LeBron James. He also built that golf course. Just kidding. He didn't. That was made up.
I was actually wondering if he showed up and he was in attendance.
I think LeBron James, he won WGC. That's what it says.
He's a professional golfer as well as the best.
He does everything.
That's what I'm about to
say. winner, Justin Thomas, won again. His 10th overall victory, right? 15 under. And then he kind of blew everyone out, to be honest. The next closest guy was Kyle Stanley, 11 under. But let me just double check before I... Never mind. I thought Kyle Stanley was a Pac-12 guy, but he's not. He's a Clemson guy, so screw him. So Justin Thomas won 15 under. Great tournament. I loved watching it. I mean, we watched part of it together here, but...
I loved it.
It was a great tournament.
Beautiful course. Tons of elevation change. Super traditional course. I think it's the last time that Firestone Country Club hosts this event. Last time that they host a PGA Tour event going forward, too. So it's kind of a memorable moment. I think that the PGA Championship happening next year gives these guys a launch pad to play a top 50 in the world event going towards the fourth and final major of the year, which is super, super important. And I think it's Tiger's last opportunity to win a major before the year's over. Justin Thomas is one of those guys that has won 8 times and now 9 after he's won this event. So super, super great event. Stacked leaderboard. It was Justin Thomas, Jason Day, Rory McIlroy.
Finau.
DJ came up there at the last minute. Yeah. I mean, it was just
Brooks
Koepka, all the best guys that you would want. All the guys that carry the ball 305 off the tee, and it was just a fantastic golf tournament. And I think the PGA Championship is going to be just as exciting as WGC was.
Absolutely. So top Pac-12 finisher in the WGC Bridgestone Invitational, Patrick Cantlay from UCLA, finished 8 under, tied for 6th. And then other notable names, obviously, Phil Mickelson was 3 under, tied for 24th, and Tiger. Had a rough last day. Rough last 2 days, actually.
Honestly, Tiger
shot
was...
Shot 73 both days in a row.
Tiger was 6 under after Friday. And after Friday, it felt like he had to really go low Saturday and Sunday to make a run.
He did not.
And he didn't.
Not even close.
If he were to go 68-68 Saturday, Sunday, he would have been like T5, T8.
Yeah, he would have been
right there, top 10. It would have been huge.
Well, if he would have went 68-68 the last 2 days, he would have went 10 more under, so he would have been 10 under. So he would have...
Yeah, 10 under.
Tied for third.
14 under would have won. Okay.
No, 15 under.
JT
finished 15 under. Yeah. Anywho.
But he didn't have to go 65-65 to win.
No.
It didn't have to happen.
He could have shot,
He missed some fairways. He missed some greens. He had a couple 3-putts, and he dropped the ball, and it sucks. But there's a major next week. He's got an opportunity. We're all excited.
Big major next week. Anything else on golf other than our golf?
Other than our round?
Our round, yeah.
No, so PGA Championship next week. They have the week off. They have the Wyndham, and then after the Wyndham, 4 straight FedEx Cup tournament rounds, and then they have the Ryder Cup. Tiger's going to be on the Ryder Cup team in Paris, no matter what the standings are. It doesn't matter.
You don't know. Jim Furyk.
I know.
You don't know. Jim Furyk.
Look at me. Jim Furyk?
Jim Furyk?
Swear to God, if you say this one more time.
He's got the switch. He can go
Jim
yes.
Furyk?
He's like Julius Caesar in Gladiator.
Jim
like
Furyk
thumb up or thumb down, and he's
Jim
got it.
Jim Furyk
got
drops
the power.
The ball 270 yards. He has no say. Tiger Woods is Jesus Christ.
Okay.
He is everything.
Except for all the sleeping with women and all that. He's Jesus Christ.
I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into that. But what he says goes. And if Tiger Woods wants to be on the Ryder Cup team and he's decent, he's going to get in. He's top 50 in the world. he's on the Ryder Cup team. You want to bet me right now?
No, I don't. I agree with you. I'm just trying to give Jim Furyk.
All right.
I just want Jim Furyk on the podcast, and so I'm giving him as much power as I can.
Swing your swing.
Hey, Jim Furyk got that funky swings little
his swing. All right, I'll tell you that right now.
Okay. Well, that was probably too much golf talk for something we could have just done in about a minute. Justin Thomas smashing the WGC Bridgestone. That wraps that up. Let's move on to the Blitz Package, a segment where anything goes. I have a question prepared. Kyle has a couple questions prepared. There may be questions thrown in from people that are listening here at the family vacation in Carlsbad, California. But I want to start, because this has been a highly debated topic since we've been here in Carlsbad. And I know Kyle's stance, and Kyle, you will know my stance when I ask the question, but I think the podcast listeners should hear and should give us feedback on really what they think about this. So I want to know, what are your thoughts on naps?
Naps.
For grown, in general? For grown-ups, so not for kids.
So naps in general for grown adults.
Yes.
So, okay.
Yeah, so take that however you want it, and then I will give
my... fine. So I feel like they're situational. I feel like...
That's a big turn from what you're...
Tony, hold on. You asked me the question.
Okay.
Sit back. Let me answer, please. I feel like they're situational. I feel like there are very specific instances where naps are totally appropriate. So if you were to wake up super early, if you were to go to the beach all day, if you were to wake up at 3 a.m. and golf, if you were to go to a concert...
We did three of those things today, and you wouldn't let me take that.
Yeah. On a regular day, or you wake up at a normal time, let's say 8 a.m., right?
Right.
You don't have kids at this point. Mm-hmm. So you wake up, you're refreshed, you drink coffee, you do your thing. If it's noon, and you just feel like the normal day that you normally have every single day is just getting to you, and you want to take a nap, I feel like you're overextending yourself, and it's inappropriate.
I can't disagree with you more. I think that, so to rebuttal, that's quite the swing of what you were telling me earlier today, because you were a pretty staunch no to any naps at any time ever.
No, that's what I was trying to argue for a nap today.
But what I will say is that there's no downside to a nap. Other than like missing out on a little bit of beach time, like what is the actual downside of napping?
Oh, you're asking.
Yeah, I'm asking you. I would like to know, because I don't think that there's any...
So I'm not a napper, so...
But, like, you're not being productive in the hour that I would be napping. You would literally have just been sitting on the beach with a cocktail.
That's a gigantic assumption.
Well, I mean, not every day, but I meant today.
Okay, today. So...
But maybe every day.
So, I feel like, for me, if I nap, when I nap, it's a long... ramp up back to 100% for me.
Okay.
If I take a nap, it takes me like an hour to get back to the full speed. I feel like I'm drowsy. I don't know where I am. I can't figure out what's happening. Like, it's so rare for me that I don't know what's going on.
You're lost. Right? You're lost and when you wake up from a nap.
Yeah, and yeah, then also, like, if we come in from the beach and we're hanging out, we have lunch, and then you take a nap, that post-lunch hour for me is like the first step to the afternoon. I don't want to, like, have a cocktail. I want to have a good time. Let's blow up the river rat. Let's go. It's low tide. Like, we're going to have a good time, right? And all of a sudden, you're asleep. And all of a sudden, we have to start from scratch, right? And I have to wait for you to wake up. Like, you know what I have to do with that? My kids. I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And both of them, I have to wait for them to wake up to start the afternoon. So if I have to wait for you to wake up to start the afternoon,
okay.
You know, all of a sudden, I'm taking that second step.
Okay. So you don't have any downside of taking a nap, other than I would be limiting what you could do in the afternoon.
Yeah, you are hindering my afternoon, yeah, right. That's all I'm saying.
So I think the benefits of a nap, there's actually well-documented health benefits of napping. Like, very researched benefits of napping.
Mark is not.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of support on my side of this argument that...
Are you a napper?
You recharge, you zap stress,
well,
you boost your mood.
There's an age thing too.
Well, let's introduce. This is Uncle Mark, by the way.
Oh yes.
On the podcast.
Hello, all those in the podcast world. Yeah, but for you guys that are less than 60, the napping starts to come more naturally.
Oh, okay, fair.
In the afternoon.
Fair enough. Which, okay, but this ties.
What do you mean by the afternoon? Like, what is the afternoon? Because I feel like Tony's like a lunch napper, like a 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. post sandwich.
Absolutely.
Napper.
Yes. It's that food coma
it's
thing.
It's a food coma.
Right
food.
After you've been up for at least 4 to 5 hours, and then food, you get a food. Good lunch in you.
Yeah, some well, food coma sets in.
Lay that head on your pillow. And night well, at night, sleep
and,
tight.
And then another like sleeping dart thing is like to start screwing around with your electronics.
Oh yeah.
So you start surfing on your phone or something. Next thing you know, you're like sitting there like, well, what the hell was I looking at here?
So I've actually found this interesting because Tony has no kids.
Right.
And Mark has grown kids with kids.
Correct.
And I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old and a pregnant wife. Yeah. So, and I don't want to throw this out there, but I feel like if anybody has the right to nap, me.
Well,
right, I feel like...
Well, what about this guy?
Or Zach. I feel like Zach has the right to nap. Zach has young children like I do. So...
He's got a wife that gets up at 3 a.m. too.
Very true.
But so, today is a bad example because
we're... Zach and I are sitting here on the podcast not talking about napping and...
But Zach said he
senior
would.
Senior no kids. And senior.
Yeah.
You know, old timer.
Yeah. Okay.
Grandpa
but,
Mark
okay.
Wood is talking about not. And we're the ones that are sitting here talking about no. I just feel like it's interesting.
Listen, I understand that your debate is more about being age appropriate or not and situational. But my thing is one, there's no downside to napping. It is healthy for you. The other thing is where I have a hard time is then in the same breath we're talking this while we're eating our sandwiches that you're saying I would take a nap after eating. While we're eating those today, you and your sister who are giving me so much crap about wanting to take a nap are then saying in the same breath, I can't wait to live in a retirement community where I can go to bed at 7, no one will bother me. I can't wait to be old and just sleep at night and no one's going to get in my way and do anything. 7 p.m., that's when I'm going to bed when I retire.
I never
and it's
said
like,
I can't wait
how
to be
can
old.
In the same breath you tell me that you can't wait to be old enough to go to bed at 7 when I just want to nap and stay up till 10 or 11?
But I never said I couldn't wait to be old.
You said that you couldn't wait to be in a retirement
but what,
community.
Like, what about at work? I mean, like, when I worked, I always felt like, even, again, after lunch, you know, there was always this, like, kind of urge that was like, oh man, I wish I could just kick back for 15 minutes
and now
and take a little siesta. And then I worked in South America.
They take
siestas.
They all do it.
I worked in Chile, man, and we worked till 7 o'clock. So everybody took off 3 hours in the middle of the afternoon to go take a freaking nap.
That's crazy.
And how great was it? And how awesome was it?
Well, it was like a long day.
Right? Yeah, I know. So see, that makes like an 11-hour day. Like, I'd rather skip the nap, work an 8-hour day, and then go home, like hang out
well,
with
you,
my kids.
You adjust to it. You know?
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
It's like, it's
but
like,
how productive were the after? Like this is.
Well,
I mean, you don't have to actually answer
South,
this on the podcast.
This was South
want,
America,
but,
man. This,
okay.
It, yeah, it's not very productive.
Okay. I was going to say, because if you take a nap and then in the afternoon is like when it's also not productive, so you're on ESPN doing that thing, like...
Roll with the flow, man.
That's a great day.
But
not only did you nap, you got to be on ESPN in the afternoon while you're working.
But the other thing that's weird there is like, you know, like right now, look at this crowd. So everybody's like ready to go to bed. If you're down in South America right now, everybody's like, it's time to get started again.
Well, that's what like, we were talking about earlier. I was like, one of the things that we were talking about was I can't do the club scene anymore, right? I'm 30 years old, which is too late. In California... That's a 10. People go out at 10 o'clock. Stay out till 1.
Yeah.
Right. In Miami, in New York, on the East Coast, people go out at 1 o'clock. They go out at 1 a.m. They stay up till 5. And, like, nobody has anything to do the next day, obviously, because you couldn't do that. And that's the same thing with the South American scene, right?
Yeah,
or, like,
yeah.
any of these other countries.
Yeah.
Like, in Europe,
yeah.
which
Europe.
Dave and Val were just over there the other time, like, you go out, if you go out at like, midnight or 1 a.m., nobody's even there yet.
No.
It doesn't even start. That
yeah.
just blows my mind because that's just
yep.
the opposite of the
yep.
culture we have over here.
Yeah, yep. that's very true.
Yep.
It's vanity not wanting to sleep in front of other people.
Yeah, where did you hear that? Was that Aristotle or
that's,
Socrates or was somebody?
That's equity.
yeah.
Just to clarify, you said
it's
vanity
it's that our
to not
culture
want to sleep in front of people.
Doesn't respect your personal time in that way.
Yeah, see?
So... To even sleep in front of my cousin, I would have felt like I was, pun, napping on the job as a dad. Because someone else took over my duties while I was asleep. Yeah. And I didn't realize that until my spouse had to work so much that she would just fall asleep from exhaustion. And at that point I realized, no, just like you would never break through to ask someone else, you need to sleep. go to sleep now. And that last little urge is, no, because we'll, there's something for us to do together
right.
when the most important thing is to rest.
See?
I feel no shame falling asleep in front of my friends. I've fallen asleep in front of my friends so many times.
Me too. Basically, what we're getting out of this is that I am a notorious napper. Like, since I've been a kid, notorious. I could nap. Yeah. I would nap on my way home from school in the car, and it was like a 9-minute drive. Like, I would fall asleep because I just wanted to catch a little snooze. Why would I not do a 2-for-1?
Wow.
Catch some music in my ears while I'm resting my eyes,
yep.
get home, refreshed, shoot baskets in the front yard until 7
yep.
p.m.
Yep.
I can't wait till you have kids. I can't wait to figure out how this nap schedule fits into the kids' nap schedule. It's going to be fantastic.
Oh, it's going to be great. Anywho, yeah. that was my Blitzbag question because I felt like it's something that we can bring up with every guest and everybody that comes on the podcast. We can ask if they're a napper or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
From here on
That's
out.
A good one.
Yeah. Cool. Kyle, what's yours?
So... The only thing I can think of is the question that I had earlier for Alex down at the beach was that I was talking about the riptide, right? Because it's all flagged off. People are getting sucked out in the middle of the ocean, unfortunately. And I thought, you know, what would be worse? Because I've seen a couple of movies like that open ocean movie. And then what was the movie with the...
Adrift.
I don't know. It was like... They went scuba diving and they went down and they came up and the boat was gone.
Open water.
And I thought, what would be worse? Scuba diving in the middle of the ocean and coming up and your boat is gone and you're stranded. Or being stranded in the Sahara Desert. Middle of Africa.
I mean, this is easy for me. Like, I live in Arizona now and I'm in the middle of that heat. But there's no way I would survive in the Sahara Desert. I can't even go outside in my backyard for more than 20 minutes before I'm like, I gotta get the hell inside because I'm gonna melt right here. So like, to be trapped in that, I don't know. Unless you're some real you really understand nature and where you can find water and sure, shade.
Bear Grylls.
There's no way I would survive in the desert. I know I probably am not any better off in the ocean, but I feel like it just wouldn't be as bad. Because right, like in the ocean, even if it's a hot day. Like, you're going to get burned, but, like, you got to imagine that's 30 times worse in the Sahara Desert. You're getting the same amount of burn. So, really, the sun is, like, worse in the desert. I don't know. It's, like, just beating down on you.
You know what I think about? I think about not having chapstick and just having my lips being fried and, like, every quarter inch is, like, a split. And you can't even open your mouth because they're just, like... cracked to death, like that's just.
But
that's
is it?
My worst
would your lips be worse? Where you're saying it'd be worse in the water?
Either
because
one.
Of the salt. Oh, okay.
Either one would just be destroyed.
Got
I
it.
Guess. So look out. See that?
We're looking. This is bad radio.
Sorry,
we're looking at the ocean right now.
See that orange light to the distance?
Which is about 2 miles offshore. Yeah.
That black, deep water scares the crap.
Yeah, that's true. Like this would be. But you wouldn't be this scared?
Imagine being 5 miles out in the black abyss with nothing but you can't see anything below you, anything around you. You have no idea if anybody's ever going to save you, and you're just floating around. Is a nightmare.
I think, okay, so
I'd rather be in the desert.
Here's the way that I would answer it. Where do I have a better probability of being helped and found by somebody else? I think the ocean.
Practicality, that's fine. But you're not going to think about that when you're in each situation.
Well, I hope I'm in
either
situation.
Your initial fear, right?
My initial fear would be I would be more scared to be in the desert.
Mm. Interesting.
I feel like I would be, like, being hunted by wolves and coyotes and rattlesnakes, and then the sun is literally just beating down on you, and then it gets freezing at night. So you're not even, like, the sun goes down, and then you're not even, like, in any reprieve, because then you're freezing.
It's, like, so sunburnt you can't even... And there's no reprieve from anything. It's, like, blistering everywhere. Sorry, that's a super depressing pushback. It's awful.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, you know.
That's a very uplifting comment.
How about we turn it up a notch and we get some feedback from you guys. What is the best dinner night the beach week?
So far or years past?
Just Yeah, ever.
Nope.
Like, if you had to come to the beach week and eat only one meal every night you're here, what would you go with?
Oh, because you're assuming it's the same sequence of things. Gotcha.
Well, it's usually remotely consistent.
Yes.
Most of it, right? Mexican food, pizza.
Remotely consistent. Yes.
Crazy random meats.
You stop at burgers.
Burgers.
And you just take that for four more days. Kyle's a master griller.
Yep.
He comes through in the clutch, like, the grill was rusted shut, the propane was low on the last greasy legs, and he still...
I pulled at least one muscle tonight, that's absolutely
Ted,
sure.
Ted, before we move on, are you a napper? Yes or no?
That's a negative, Tony.
Nope, yeah, that's a lie, Ted. You're a napper.
I'm out, Tony.
Another family member poked his head in. He's a napper. He lied to the podcast. I apologize to all our listeners.
He's retired. Yes.
I will vouch that I've observed him napping.
Yes. Today. We saw him napping today.
Today. Today. I think every day this week, every day this vacation, I can almost vouch for that.
Yeah. Okay. So sorry. Back to the question. One food the whole week. Maybe it doesn't even have to be one that happens here. Just what is something you think you could eat 7 days in a row?
Oh. Wow.
You guys have, traveled very far. Multicultural.
Oh, so now we're throwing it away from the...
Let's just change it.
Gotcha.
7 days in a row. What could you eat?
What could you do 7 days in a row? Okay. Wow. Well, are you still thinking about it?
I still stay in with the hamburgers here on the beach.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Kyle, is that good of a
My
job?
Wife's a vegetarian, which pretty much makes me a vegetarian. So, burger on the beach, someone else grilled.
Mm.
Also, Kyle has a gun pointed at Zach. That's why he answered that. So,
so he knows where I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
With the itchy trigger.
Itchy trigger.
Yeah.
Trigger's a little itchy.
Yeah.
So on the beach theme, I'll have to go with ceviche in Peru, which is a raw fish that's immersed in lime juice. Lime juice kind of cooks the fish, and there's a place we've gone twice, and it's just like, wow, that is really good.
Is it in like a goblet bowl or like an actual serving bowl?
No, it's more like a platter.
Like a platter?
Like a platter with this stuff on it.
Love ceviche.
I love ceviche,
so
too.
Good.
Yep.
It's so fresh.
Yes, it's very...
And it's technically sushi, right? Like,
yeah.
It's in the sushi family, which is weird to think about.
Is it really? Is it raw?
Yeah.
It's raw fish?
Yeah. It's raw fish. And it's just the lime juice... essentially causes kind of this cooking, the acids in the lime juice.
I love ceviche.
This podcast is so much more than just sports.
I'm not a big sushi guy, like sashimi, like.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, taking like a raw fish and like throwing on a freaking bed of rice or whatever it is, like that's not my thing. Like I'm more of like a Las Vegas roll type dude, which
for sure.
Anybody that's a sushi fan will like slap me in the face for saying that because it's just not sushi.
Yep.
Like, I get it. You guys are both laughing. That's fine.
Yep. No, I get it.
But ceviche, I don't feel like is a like sashimi. Like it's, I feel like it's cooked. It's not cooked.
Yeah, but it's not. It's not been heated. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. I learned that when I was in El Salvador. They taught me that it's technically a sushi.
It's basically, it's uncooked fish.
Yeah.
But it's like uncooked by heat.
Avocado and like.
Yeah.
And like tomatoes.
Like
onion,
pico and stuff like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And onions.
And like, I don't know, but Peru, I'm sure, has a little bit of like warmth weather-wise to it, so that you have a nice like cold ceviche.
Yep.
Oh man, that's good.
Yep.
That's good.
So I guess if I had to eat that 7 days a week for the 7 days we were here.
Like with a chip? Or like a
spoon?
Like what do you...
Usually with a fork. And then...
Straight.
The other thing they
like
have...
straight? Like boom.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's onions in it. Usually some onions.
Oh.
And then usually there's like... Peru's got like 80 kinds of potatoes. So
really?
So there's usually...
Wait.
80?
80, yes.
How do you make 80 kinds of
80
potatoes?
Kinds of...
Oh, there's like...
There can only be so many shapes of potatoes.
Well...
Like they're ovals. They're ovals, right? I mean, how many ovals are there?
Start adding color.
That's a good point.
Color, I didn't think about that.
Cardinal and gold to tie in Scott's or Shaggy's got in the West.
Cardinal and gold potatoes. Yeah.
They start adding different sort of different texture. And then there's and I can't think of the name. There's like this, like think of a kernel of corn, but like we had tonight, But think of it about five times bigger, and then it's like hard. So it's kind of like a corn nut. Remember really? Have corn nuts when you're
corn nuts are really good.
Yeah, corn nuts are really good.
I like corn nuts.
So
new sponsor.
Corn nuts.
This is a plug for corn nuts.
Yeah. Corn nuts are good.
So
who owns corn nuts?
I don't know, but you remember the little packages that used to come in, like the long skinny ones,
like
that
the ranch.
Open? Yeah. I mean, those weren't probably as good as the one he's talking about, health wise.
Right, sure.
We'll get there.
Yeah. So you usually end up with, you have some of those, and it's all really good stuff. Yeah.
Sort of jack your teeth up, corn nuts.
So yeah. We've got hamburgers.
You can lose a couple teeth.
Oh yeah, you crunch too. Oh man, bad spot. Man, those are, so to recap so far, we've got hamburgers,
ceviche.
Kyle.
Oh, I gotta go now?
I pointed at you, but I can answer if you need me to.
It's funny because I actually grilled the burgers tonight, so I should probably pick that.
But
I barbecue a lot at home, so I'm used to it. And I actually really, really enjoy the knockout pizza that's here. I love a New York-style pizza, like the thin crust, limited sauce, but tons of cheese. Mm. And they have like a buffalo chicken. Yep. It's a little spicy, which is so not your jam.
Oh man, I'm way too spicy. Smelled it because it wasn't like a bright orange like normal buffalo sauces. I was like, oh, chicken pizza. Holy mother, that's gonna be hot.
Yeah, you're such a baby.
Yeah, not good.
But like the pepperoni sausage, even the pineapple. I love a good New York style pizza.
Yeah,
thin crust, mm-hmm. tons of toppings, limited sauce, tons of cheese. That's my jam.
Okay,
I love pizza. Steph loves pizza.
Man, a lot of good options here. I would go, I think I could eat a breakfast burrito multiple times a day, every day. Eggs, bacon and sausage, and then you throw in some hash browns and avocado. Then you can do some ketchup, one day do some salsa.
You know,
mix it up.
I got a breakfast burrito story for you.
Right. Lay it on us.
So, I just went to Lake Powell in May. And these guys I was with, it's like, one of the guys must have made like 40 breakfast burritos. 40. The day we went, right? Or before we went. So the first morning, hey, what's for breakfast? Breakfast burritos. Yeah, all right, good. So chowing, and it was like, you're saying, Tony, this is really good. But then you had leftover breakfast burritos for another.
Leftover, that's
tough. And it was like, these are good. Yeah, these are good. Well, dude, it was just like, these were good the first day. Oh, man.
But
so maybe having them fresh.
Fresh. That's a good
clarification. How many people were there? Why did he make 40?
Well, there was 9 of us.
9 of us. Oh, 40 makes perfect sense.
How many days?
I think 9 would make perfect sense.
Yeah. Well, it was like, we were fishing. So, like, it was like, have one for breakfast, take one with you. So there's 18, right? Boom, like that.
I feel like everybody needs 3 of these.
Yes.
What do you think of this?
A breakfast and a lunch one.
It's like, hey,
days
baby.
In a row.
Hey, hon, how many people are there? 9? It's like, I'm going to make 40. Yeah. I'm just going to rock and roll this whole thing. We're going to figure it out.
This was my first trip with these guys, so I didn't quite know what to expect.
I mean, I would probably still eat the breakfast burritos even 4 or 5 days later, to be honest.
You ate an egg sandwich today that was like 4 hours old.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
not bad. So, I mean, you're not afraid of a 4-hour-old egg.
Not afraid of it.
Salmonella is your friend. You know?
He's immune.
Yeah, I am.
It's good. You're Italian.
Yeah.
Armenian. I know.
Italian, yeah. That reminds me. So, great quote from our guy, McLeod Bethel Thompson, who won the Canadian League comeback.
Yeah.
He was getting interviewed after the game the other night. One of the reporters asked him, like, you know, before that last play, like, what did you tell your teammates before? And he's like, tranquillo, you know, tranquillo. And the guy's like, oh, he's like, what does that mean? He's like, you know, like, calm, calm. He's like, oh, is that a little Italian in you? And he's like, oh, that's Spanish. The retro board was like, oh, okay. And then he like just like went on. It was just funny how he was Anyways. Any other thoughts or comments before we wrap this podcast up?
Well, I could add one other sports observation for you guys.
Yeah.
Which is I did actually attend the Broncos training camp last Wednesday.
Ooh, awesome.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of firsthand intelligence on the AFC West for you. Because I went last year as well. So... And it's an interesting, have you guys ever been to a training camp?
I have not.
I have not, no.
It's kind of an interesting process to watch. Going the second time, I had a little better idea of what to watch for. And you kind of come away with an appreciation that the they don't really practice that hard.
Really?
No, it's like...
I would imagine the guys that know they're going to be on the team...
Exactly.
...are taking it pretty easy.
Yeah.
And those guys that are fighting for the last probably 10 or 15 spots are...
Yeah. It's like...
Maybe practicing
you
hard.
You know, Von Miller, he kind of ran around this tackling dummy like 3 or 4 or 5 times. And it, like, he'd stand back and like, okay.
Like dance a little
I got a bit of a sweat up. I guess, you know, that's okay.
Where was it in relation to Denver?
At their training facility, which is like... from you guys have been to our house about 10 miles east of there.
Interesting.
So...
they're obviously all in ridiculous shape. So somebody's training somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? But obviously the guys that are barely making the team are going hard at some practice facility somewhere, indoors, just like...
Well, everybody's out there, I mean, for this particular thing. And it is interesting to see, like, this second-round guy they drafted as a wide receiver. You could tell that dude is going to be, he's going to be good. Because, like, he was like a man amongst boys, even against the first team defensive backs.
Nice.
So that's
cool to watch, I bet.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But, like you're watching the defensive linemen and stuff, you know, and it's just a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
And this was the second day in pads. You know, and again, and then even then there was no tackling to the ground. So... Yeah. Anyway, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So. They got a lot of rules and like regulations these days. Like they just can't.
No,
they can't practice like they used to.
No, they don't.
They smash each other all day for the 3 weeks leading up to the real season.
Yeah, I mean, think about college football too, right? Like Nick Saban talks about it all the time. Like these guys, they're out of pads like 3/4 of the preseason.
Yeah.
It's all like.
Yeah.
Well, they talk a lot about that actually the first 4 regular season games now are more like preseason games because they really haven't even started playing hard once they get to the regular season. You know,
that's why fantasy is so hard.
Yeah.
Because like nobody's figured anybody out yet, and by the time you get to like week 6, the guys are like actually starting to hit each other.
Yeah, true.
You figure that's it out.
That's a good point.
So then, for you working guys, you know, thing that made this a really hard day was I went with some other
retired working guys. That's so insulting.
I went with some other retired guys, and then we went to Top Golf.
Oh, jeez, that's a day.
Yeah.
Did you take a nap in between? Because that's like my heaven. That's my heaven in a nutshell.
I don't like this story. I think the story is like really crappy.
Because we had a pitcher. We had a pitcher at Top Golf and no lunch. So.
Oh. Wow.
So I came home and I was like, man, I'm exhausted. It's a rough day. And Nancy's like, aren't you going to mow the lawn today or something? I said, well, wait till, because like, I'm like Tony. I said, wait till it cools off.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I can take a nap right now.
It's a little hot, so we'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah. So anyway, it's
crap.
Thanks for that. That's
some observations from Colorado there for you.
Which I feel like that's way different than if you were going to like a college Hell Week training camp right now.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah.
Nobody's spot is safe at the college level for the most part, right? Like, everybody can be replaced at any time, as opposed to, like, if you're Von Miller in the NFL, like, just continuously really, really good every year, no one's coming in to get you. They're paying you millions of dollars. Like, you're just going to step on the side. Like, granted, college has those guys, too, where they don't have to do as much every day in and day out, but I feel like there's a lot more competition.
Yeah.
Von Miller's young.
True.
Well, he's 29.
He's 29?
Yeah.
Yeah. If wow, the guy gets hurt, I'm telling you, like, it's next guy up.
Yeah,
true.
The NFL is a cutthroat business, man. Like, you gotta be.
Yep.
You gotta be J.J. Watt. Like, J.J. Watt was when he was 25. Like, he's the real deal. He's like 28 now.
Yeah.
If he continues to get hurt, like he's been hurt the last couple of years, like,
they'll
cut him like it's going out of style, man.
Yeah.
It's not even funny.
True.
And that's why
there's no guaranteed money.
And the Broncos, you know, they drafted this Chubb guy.
Yeah, Nick Chubb.
And you should see that dude.
Really? He's a stud.
He's a stud.
Yeah.
When he was standing next to Miller, you go, Christ, that guy's another half a guy bigger than Von Miller.
Jeez.
And he's supposed to be just as fast.
Yeah.
So,
there's always somebody that's 20 years old that's just as good as the next guy.
Yeah.
That's like, the greatest thing in football. True. I mean, you play football, you know?
Yeah.
It's
true.
It's like this this wide receiver guys tell you about. You know, like Demaryius Thomas has been the big stud there for 10 years. They said, right now they're saying, he's probably going to be, he'll probably be playing second wide receiver behind this guy.
That Cortland Sutton.
Yeah.
From SMU.
Yep. He's really good. So.
Wow.
But SMU, really?
Tell you what. Top Golf's kind of hard, too.
First of all, we don't even have one down here, which is so depressing. I follow him on social media, and I see Top Golf's going up in, like, Missouri, Mississippi, Louisiana, Florida. They got one in, like, North Dakota. What else do they have in North Dakota besides a Top Golf?
Fargo.
Nothing.
Fargo.
A movie that happened, like, 25 years ago. Nothing happens in North Dakota, but they have a Top Golf. That's great.
Well, come on out to Denver, guys. We can go to Top Golf.
Yeah, we
got to
go back.
Absolutely.
There's no reason to come
back.
Oh,
that's actually a good segue. I mean, you being from Denver, you're a Colorado fan. We went last year to the USC Colorado game, which was epic.
So much fun.
That was epic. Great day.
Great stadium.
Great stadium. That field house, that's got to be one of the best parties atmospheres of a college. Like, during the game? I don't know, like, you went in and there was all those, like, little beer gardens that people were hanging out in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yep.
But,
yep.
Anyways.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, that wraps up this segment of the Blitz Package and this episode of the Checkdown. I want to thank the Woods, Zach and Mark, for coming on.
Hey,
providing some insight, a little bit of fun.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Tony.
And for agreeing with me that naps are a good thing.
Yes. Pleasure to be here.
Good. Well, that wraps up this episode, Kyle. We'll do the same damn thing next week.
All right. Before you fall asleep, rock and roll.
Take a nap, you'll be ready.